Turning to 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 17. First Corinthians 11:17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, every one taketh before the other his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, the saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his word. We come this morning to observe the Lord's Supper. The passage which I read calls to your attention in the 20th verse of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians that this observance is called the Lord's Supper. First of all, I call your attention to the fact that it's the Lord's Supper. There's much error and heresy surrounding the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. It is not the pastor's table. It is not the church's table or supper. It is not the denomination's supper. It's the Lord's supper. Since it is the Lord's supper, I judge that only He can invite. Only He can forbid. It's the Lord's. The night after the observance of the Passover feast, the Lord took the bread and the cup and instituted that which we call the Lord's Supper. It's a supper. It came at the end of the day. It came after man had worked all of the day, and coming home to rest, had the evening meal set before him for the sustenance of his physical body, the restoration of that which had been dissipated through the work of the day. In the observance of the Lord's Supper, there are those groups that observe it in the evening on a Sunday. There are those who observe it on a Wednesday evening, thinking that to be near the time when the Lord observed it. Some observe it on a Sunday morning. History seems to reveal that the time of the observance on a particular day was related to that which was most convenient for the most of the people. Both Colossians and Romans are very strong on setting forth the fact that we are not to observe hours, minutes, days, and years, lest they become a fetish and we worship them. So I judge that the time of the day, in one sense, is immaterial. The sustenance which we are to draw from the supper is spiritual and not physical. And I would judge the time to feed the majority would be when the majority are present. But I'm no stickler there. Now, another interesting question that arises is how often or when, and again the Lord set no precedent. An interesting thing is to be found in verse 26 of that 11th chapter. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Some of the better translations translate that whenever. And the meaning of the Greek in the original text is that whenever you do it. Now, we read in the New Testament, the early church had the breaking of bread every first day of the week. But the early church had many things which are not for us. They have their property in common. And no man called what he had his own. But when it became apparent that the Lord was not returning in that generation, the admonition from the Apostle Paul was for people to work with their own hands and save that which they earned, that they might be able to help those who were in need. The communal or communistic form of society was never established by our Lord, neither was it in the mind of our Lord. Our Lord himself established the capitalistic form of government. And we read that when he establishes the fact that the cattle on the thousand hills are mine. And we are stewards under his direction and leadership. Now, there were many things about the early church that were not established for the church. Some churches observed the Lord's Supper every month. Some churches every quarter. Some churches once a year. Some, such as ours, when we have a definite leadership of the Lord, that it's pleasing unto him. This supper is a memorial supper. Perhaps I was born 30 years too soon. The men under whom I was privileged to study in the seminary made an impact upon my life and upon my ministry. I'll never forget what the professor said about the Lord's Supper. He said he thought that it was of sufficient importance that when it was observed, the whole service should be given over to it. And it was not to be an adjunct or an addition to the regular service. Now, Jesus said, I want you to remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this remembering me while you do it. Could one forget the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter wrote to those to whom he addressed himself, you have forgotten that you were redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have forgotten. These past few Sundays, our attention has been upon events that precede the coming of our Lord. And it came to me loud and clear that today we should think about him toward whom these signs point. That our attention today should be upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember me, is what the Lord says. Living in the society in which we're living today, the world, the flesh, and the devil takes our minds off of the Lord and the things of the Lord. Funds are earned, money is gained in the world. And sometimes food, clothing, and shelter comes to occupy first place in our thoughts and in our activities. And we forget him who died for our sins. Now, do these things, remembering me while you do them. What do you remember when you think of Jesus the Christ? I want the Lord helping me to take you back along memory's lane. I want you, if you can, to remember that first moment when you became conscious of the fact that you were lost. It takes me back a number of years ago when I was about 8 years of age. During a revival meeting, so-called. People professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ caused me to ask questions what they were doing and why. And then it dawned upon my consciousness that I myself was lost. That I myself was on my way to a lake of fire, a devil's hell. I said something to my father and mother about wanting to be saved, and they phoned the pastor, and he came, and he talked with me. Can you remember when you realize you're lost in undone condition? A person is not interested in salvation, and it's with extreme difficulty, well, I judge impossible for one to be saved until they know they're lost. I remember both of my girls at the same age, but several years apart, at the age of 6. Different times and different places come to me crying, "Daddy, I'm lost." That's quite an experience to have your own child, 6 years of age, come to you in tears, "Daddy, I'm lost." Well, it's easy to show a person the way when they know they're lost. I remember that the only hope that was held out for me was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day, what a day. Jesus saves. I remember that. I remember telling the pastor, I believe in Jesus Christ. I did. I believed. I knew nothing about him. Very little about the Word. But I knew he died to save my sins. And I believed. I remember making a public confession of my faith. There comes before my mind's eye a tent by the side of the church in which the meeting was being held. I remember that night walking the aisle telling the preacher that I was trusting the Lord as my Savior. I remember telling them I wanted to be baptized. I remember those things. I remember joining the church. I was happy. I'm a Christian. I'm a church member. I was proud of that. Can you go back memory lane and remember when you made a public confession of your faith in the Lord? He that is ashamed of me and my Father which is in heaven, of him will I be ashamed before our Father which is in heaven. I wasn't ashamed of being a Christian. I wasn't ashamed to be baptized. I wasn't ashamed to let it be known that I was a member of the church. I know the next day at school, word spread around among the pupils that I'd made a profession of faith and had been baptized. It was something. I remember more than anything, I guess, the fact that Jesus died for my sins. As I grew older, coming more and more in contact with the world, I became more and more conscious of sin. I can remember nights when there was no sleep because of the conviction of sin committed that day. I remember struggles with Satan as he tried to tell me that I was lost because I had sinned. The uncertainty of my salvation. The horror of eternity without God. I remember those things. I remember them. I remember when I became conscious of the ministry of our Lord today. Not only do I remember Him dying for my sins, not only do I remember confessing publicly that I had trusted Him as my Savior, not only do I remember the joy in heaven upon that public confession, upon my obedience unto Him in baptism, but I remember one day learning what the Lord is doing today. Many Christians have no appreciation of the present ministry of our Lord. For instance, consider this, His providential care. My God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus. I remember the promise of the Lord to supply our needs. I was thinking this morning of the night when I was wed. We started life with a $5 bill between us. That's every cent we had. And how the Lord has blessed to bring us to where we are today. The providential care of our Lord. That's every cent we had. And how the Lord has blessed to bring us to where we are today. The providential care of our Lord. All that we have and all that we are has come from Him. that's not the greatest thing. I've known individuals that were affluent who would give everything they possessed if they could buy peace of mind and stillness of heart, unwilling to take it as a free gift from God. But I remember not only that the Lord has provided everything for me, but I remember where He is and what He's doing right now. I remember that He's at the right hand of God the Father. And every time I sin in thought or word or deed, He immediately pleads my case with God the Father. I remember that. I remember that. At the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, pleading with God for me, for you, who name the name of Christ. I remember that. And as in a few moments when we partake of the bread symbolizing His broken body and the fruit of the vine symbolizing His shed blood, I remember that He ever liveth to make intercession for me. He's pleading with God for me. I remember. I remember something else that brings joy and happiness to my heart. I remember a promise He made. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto myself that where I am, there you may be also. I remember that promise. He's coming again. I remember. What a solemn hour that night. Our Lord, with the apostles observing the feast of the Passover, causing them to remember their deliverance from slavery in Egypt, God bringing them into the promised land and establishing them. And when they'd finished the Passover, all of them knowing that his time was short, he arose, he took the loaf of bread, he broke it, and he blessed it, and he passed it to the disciples, and he said, "Now, all of you, take and eat." King James says, "Take ye and eat all of it." Literally what he said, "All of you." It's not optional with you or me as Christians whether we take or not. The command is to. He brings this qualification in. "He that eateth and drinketh in a manner unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body of our Lord." Many people get confused because they overlook the grammar of the passage of Scripture. The word "unworthily" modifies the verb, eating and drinking. It does not modify the person. It's not talking about a person being worthy or unworthy, because there's none worthy. All we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a manner unworthy, not discerning the body of our Lord. Two things concerning the body of our Lord. Unless you see in the shed blood and the broken body of our Lord, atonement for your sins, once and for all and forever accomplished, you do not discern the body of our Lord. But I see in the broken body and shed blood of our Lord full and complete atonement for all of my sins and eternal life, my present possession. That's discerning the body of the Lord. Another thing, though, they came together to observe the Lord's Supper because they were one. And to discern the body of the Lord in the second place is to see and recognize the fact that every Christian is a member of the body of Christ. Now, this shows forth the Lord's death, not his resurrection. This shows forth the Lord's death until he comes. Baptism shows forth his death, burial, and resurrection, and our identity with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. But this shows forth his death. And the minute a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he becomes a member of the body of Christ. There are those who distinguish not the bride of Christ, the church of Christ, and try to make this only for the called out group or for the bride of Christ and not for the vast majority of Christians who are not in the bride of Christ. But this, the body, not discerning the body of our Lord. This is not my table. It's not the church's table. It's not the denomination table. It's the Lord's table. I invite not, I refuse not. Let a man examine himself, and so let him partake. I would judge in the light of the Scripture that he who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior can show forth his death until he comes. Now we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to pass the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. And as we come to this prayer, I remember Brother Barlow asked us to have special prayer.